right, how you doing, everyone? And welcome once again to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my colleague, two-time Super Bowl champion, David Deal. And by the way, just to let you folks know, during today's show, we're experimenting with a few different methods on improving the quality of the live stream. So if you are having any problems, you know, any kind of difficulties watching, when you call in, let the screener know that you're having some problems. Just we're trying to get this so it looks as good as it can possibly look for you people when you're watching the show. Having said that, David, my friend, nobody saw this coming, but it's here. 1-7 is here, and, you know, you as a former player probably can answer it better than anybody else. 1-7, you're playing a team that's 0-9, you have 8 games left in the season. Where do you as a player go from here?
Number one, obviously you knew this last game was going to be an uphill battle, considering there was no Goodson, no Casillas, no Janoris Jenkins, no Weston Richburg, who's now in IR, no Justin Pugh. I mean, so no Olivier Vernon. So you knew that this was going to be a tough, tough matchup regardless of coming into it. But learning from this one, it's when you were sitting here right now where the Giants are at 1-7 with 4 or 8 games left, 4 at home, 4 on the road, this is all about effort and execution. Moving forward here, at the end of this season, you're either going to be a part of the solution or you are part of the problem. So when you're in the NFL, it's a privilege. It's not a right. And for players right now that are on this Giants roster, need to go to San Francisco and realize the magnitude of what they're playing for. Not only for this organization, but you're playing for your jobs, because not only are the Giants watching this game, but there are 31 other teams evaluating you right now, because when adversity hits, the true character of a team and an individual comes out. And that's going to be the instance here moving forward. Effort and execution are going to be the most important things that we're going to need to see out of this football team if they want to dig themselves out of this rut. And it needs to start right now in San Francisco, because if right now they go there and they do not play the way that they need to play to come away with a win, things are going to unravel.
A lot of people would say they've unraveled already. It'll continue to unravel. You know, having said that, listen, David, I'm not suggesting you ever felt this way, but you've been on a team that's had prolonged losing streaks.
Absolutely. I've been on 4-12, 7-9, 8-8, 6-10. I've been on those teams.
Okay, so my question to you is this. As a player, and I don't think fans can really see it with the naked eye, but I think a fellow player, guy you're lining up next to, can you tell? Because sometimes losing causes, again, you know, winning builds confidence. Losing works in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
When you're losing your confidence and you're going through what the Giants are going through now at 1-7. Now, I'm not talking about coaching right now. I'm just talking about players. Do you sense some players, and you know, as you say, you've been through it, when that's happening, you start playing scared because you're afraid to make a mistake, and that only leads to a snowball effect?
You know what? More than anything, I think that when you get in times like this and when you're in adversity, you see the true players who have the character that can handle the heat, that can handle the adversity, that are still fighting through it regardless of what the circumstances are. So during those tough times and during those tough seasons, you can see to your left and right who are the same players that are working as hard trying to make progress each and every week and who those aren't. And it's up to the veteran leaders to make sure that they pull everybody along. If not, people aren't pulling their weight. And if they're not, you make sure that they're not on the field because they can't be accountable.
And going up the ladder from the coaching standpoint, what can the coaches do? Simply continue to put out the game plan and say, here, guys, you got to execute it.
Coaching is making men do what they don't want to do so they can become what they want to become. You coach them as hard as you did to start the season. This isn't a time where you try to pull back and because of this and worry about people's feelings. You coach them as hard as you possibly can, because this is where you'll see how they handle the heat and if they can be tested and if this is somebody that needs to be on this roster long term.
All right. Well, again, folks, as we said, nobody saw this coming, but it is here, 1-7, and Giants have to prepare. By the way, Janoris Jenkins reinstated today, so he will be,
he'll be back
in the Giants lineup. Having said that, again, the number is always to call, 201-939-4513 on Twitter. It is hashtag Giants Chat. We welcome your calls, and let's open up the morning, or I should say lunchtime, with Bruce in New York. Bruce, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Amid all the doom and gloom, I want to apologize to Eric Flowers because I thought this guy couldn't play. And I got a little Paul Dottino in me. I during the game, I watched that tape. I go back on good plays to see how he's doing and how Brett Jones is doing. Brett Jones is playing great. I hope he's our starting center next year. And could Eric Flowers be playing any better than he is, other than the first 2 weeks of the season where he was terrible? I watched him this last game. He looks like a different player. He's quick. He stays on his blocks. He's not getting beat. And he had, I don't know how many pancakes in that game. He's knocking people on their butt. Now, I don't know if anybody else watched him in isolation, but he's just doing a great job. And nobody gives him any credit. I wish somebody would mention him.
Bruce, I go back and I watch every single game the next day. Obviously, I was at the game on Sunday working. Stayed throughout the whole thing, and then it's Monday morning yesterday, woke up and watched the game, the coach's copy, and he is. He's playing much better because why? He's trusting his technique. He's believing in the fundamentals that you need to as an offensive lineman. And you made a great assessment about Brett Jones. The more that I watch him, the more that he plays, I have no problem saying that I think he's a better center than Weston Richburg.
Well, unfortunately, and it is unfortunate that, you know, Weston, in fact, I just saw him a little while ago. You know, he's done. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on IR.
So, of course. You so never want to see
you don't know what's going to happen, and he's really becoming a free agent.
Yes.
I mean, quite frankly, Brett Jones, you know, I got to tell you, Brett Jones is probably one of the real bright spots on the Giants this season.
Absolutely. Talk about somebody who's risen to the occasion, who's stepped in and has gotten better each and every game. And for me, I love watching it because why? He's representing that number 69, just like Rich Soibert, the right way. Tough, blue-collar, finishes people smart. And what is he doing? He is continuing to make sure that everybody else around him is doing the same. And you love seeing that out of a player stepping into that.
You know, Bruce, like you brought up Eric Flowers. And, you know, think about it, Bruce, because in fairness to you, you said you owe an apology. But for all the criticizing, did you ever think you'd be saying something nice going back, you know, earlier in the season?
No.
No. No, that's a very succinct no. But
He missed that block in Dallas. They're like on the 1 foot line. And Troy Aikman says, the run was going to the A-gap. He gets beat to the inside. And Aikman said, you know where the play's going. If you can't get beat to the inside. It cost him a touchdown. I think that was the low point for him. The next week, he played great. And if you notice this past week, he got a penalty called on him for holding. And they looked, they said, the referee goes, no, it wasn't holding. He just knocked him down. You go back, and he put people on their back. I don't know how many times that game. If you get close to him.
Bruce, I wouldn't count that one as a knockdown, Bruce. I'm sorry, Bruce. I watched the play. It wasn't a knockdown. He didn't knock him down. Robert Quinn went to bend the edge and fell. Flowers had his hands on his shoulder pads, didn't grab. And that's why they pulled it back. But don't say that one was a knockdown.
Well, I'm just saying that if you get close to him, he's so powerful. He uses those long arms.
Those long arms, well, that's the key. That's the technique. When he uses those long arms.
But you've been preaching that
since
he got here.
Yeah.
The criticism
was that he wasn't punching. He wasn't using his hands and keeping the defensive end away from his framework, which is his most vital asset as an offensive tackle, is being able to have that reach and keep people out of your body.
Yeah, Bruce, thanks very much for the call. Listen, I can remember every conversation sitting next to my friend here.
Yeah.
And it had been almost like a broken record.
Yeah,
it wasn't inability.
No,
it was technique.
And it was consistency. Like I said, as an offensive lineman, you always talk, you need to be a boxer. You have to have your hands up. You can counterpunch. You can take punches, whatever. You can't be a gunslinger. Anybody that goes to punch and shoots from the hip, you're number one, your timing's off with your feet trying to tie them together. But two, you're exposing your chest to the defensive lineman. All they have to do is stab. And all of a sudden, that reach, that length that you have in your arm, it doesn't matter because you're allowing them to get into your body.
I have to, again, I'm really thrilled that I'm with you today because obviously you give a different perspective than I do or, you know, Paulie or somebody else because you played the game. We were talking about confidence or lack thereof. Like, for example, is it hard for players to own up and admit, boy, we stunk? We're just not given the proper effort or what is wrong. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Or is it easy to just too easy to pass the buck to a team without pointing the finger at the teammate, but kind of implying that?
The eye in the sky does not lie. When you come in and when you watch film as a team and as a group, it is glaring. The people who are selling out, the people who are playing max effort to the whistle, and those who aren't. And that's the thing that you could sit here, you could say something to somebody, you could hide. But when you turn on that film, you truly know, and the people in that room truly know if you're selling out. Prime example, third and 33, a screen. Screens have nothing to do with execution on either side of the ball. Screens are all about effort. Screens are all about getting out in front and trying to lay a block and doing whatever you can to maximize that play. So for that, there's absolutely no excuse for Eli Apple in the way that he played on that play or in the one that he played in the breakdown and coverage in the end zone on Sammy Watkins where he gave up the touchdown. Those are glaring things, and there's absolutely no excuse for it.
I forget the exact – I'm paraphrasing now, but maybe you recall. When asked about that, Ben said, you know, there was a problem with the pre-snap and the post-snap.
Effort. Effort makes up for everything.
And the truth of the matter was, it was a 10-7 ball game at that point. And
of all things, third and 33, an offense is in an unfavorable position, what are you looking for? You're looking for a draw or a screen. Those are things that are fundamental to football.
I mean, they were just looking to make up some yards. Yeah. I'll tell you, third and 33, you're saying,
they're just trying to move
about.
For a field goal.
Hey, if you hold them to 32 yards, it's just a field goal.
It's a field goal.
It's a field goal.
And look how that play, that play completely changed everything.
Oh, no. Listen, you're talking about a 51-17 game. That changed
everything.
It wasn't just the touchdown. It was the touchdown and third. Entire air was sucked out of the entire building.
Yep.
You could feel
you
it.
You felt it.
Right then and there. Again, folks, 201-939-4513 is the number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And again, we're doing some experimenting today with some different methods on improving the quality of the live stream. So if you are
things I have no idea about,
don't ask me. Don't call us. But if you are encountering any problems, please let the live screener.
We'll give you Russ's number after the show, and you guys can contact him with all of your technical issues.
You can speak with Lovely McKenna, and she'll duly note your difficulty and report it in. Having said that, let's go nearby to Hoboken and chat with Tony. Tony, you're on with Russ and Dave. How you doing today, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Ross? What's up, Dave?
What's up,
Tony? How you doing, Tony?
Hey, I had called last week. Remember?
Oh, Nicky Russo's friend. I know who you are, man. What's going on?
I actually told Nick. I said, David Thiel doesn't know you. I said, why are you spreading that stuff? He said,
what's going on, man? How can we help you, brother?
Yeah, last week I also called and spoke to Rick Pitino and Lance. And after I hung up,
Rick Pitino, the guy who got fired from
Louisville basketball coach.
Paul Pitino, my bad.
Okay.
But anyway, I said you're gonna see now. I said the only difference really with the Rams and the Giants is one key person, and I really believe that if we would have signed Whitworth and not picked up Brandon Marshall and not spend all that money on the tight end, and he's not even playing, and so is Brandon Marshall not even playing.
Tony,
all that money wasted.
But Tony, listen, I understand, but woulda, shoulda, coulda. We've gone over this time and time again. It is what it is. Yeah. We're here. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not blowing you off, but it is.
No, and the one thing I will say to you, Tony, is the one thing that you have to expect and you had to think about with the signing of Andrew Whitworth is that for three straight seasons now, his last two with Cincinnati and now this one with Los Angeles, he can't practice the full week because of his age and his knees. So are you really going to put a long-term investment and give that amount of guaranteed money?
He signed up for 3 years.
Take a deep breath and listen to me, buddy. So you're going to sign a guy who's in his 30, 34, 35 years old to a three-year deal when you know long-term he doesn't have a good knee and he can't practice all week for you. Is that the long-term investment and you're going to sign him to a three-year, $30, $40 million deal?
It wasn't $40 million.
Well, okay,
I'm asking.
It was 30 and change. Well,
the bottom 30 and change.
I'm saying, look, the Rams did it, and look how good they're doing.
Okay,
and he's a main part of it.
And I'm not saying that he is not, Tony. And I hear where you're coming from. I'm just saying. Business wise, that's a tough decision to make.
It is what it is, Tony.
It is. You're right.
We've gone over this time and time again.
But I just want to go back one more thing with. Please stop with Eric Flowers. He's good now. No, we fell over this already. He's got to go or move to right tackle. We need a good left tackle.
Listen, we were saying that he's getting better, Tony. We're saying that he's using his technique, that he's gotten better from the struggles earlier in the season compared to now. Is he perfect? Is he great right now? Absolutely not. But has he made progress? Has he played much better than when he did to start this season or any time in his career? Absolutely, he is.
You know what, Tony?
What did that cost us this year?
Tony, I love you, but you're gone, man. Come on, man.
I mean, you can't, folks. Listen, we get it. We're not sitting here naive to what 1-7 is. We get it. We get everybody's frustration. Okay, but listen, coming off 51-17. For another horrible loss in your own building, you're still beaten up. I mean,
not to mention when you're 1-7, everybody has their fingerprint on it.
Right,
everybody.
But really, I mean, let's not make Eric Flowers the punching bag for everything. That's kind of getting a little silly now. I mean, listen, we certainly sat here and there was no defending when he played lousy.
Yeah, but no question. But to sit here and to say that he was a complete issue and he's the reason and he's completely at fault for that, that's crazy.
And
in regards to him, he has gotten better. His technique has improved. He's playing much better. Is he perfect? Is he the long-term solution at left tackle? I don't believe so. But is he doing better right now than he ever has before? Absolutely.
Without question. And you know, look, but – let's go to our friend Lisa, because Lisa always has something interesting to say in Brooklyn. Lisa, how are you today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Not happy.
Nah. No, none of us are.
You know what bothered me the most about this loss? The effort. Where was the effort? I've never seen the defense. Something is not right. Do you know nobody has let up a 3rd and 33 since like 1989? This is not our defense out there.
Well, listen, everybody, I was sitting in the press box and I sat there, and when that happened, it was the first time, Lisa and Dave, it was the first time this season where I actually said to myself, this is broken and it needs to be fixed. You know, we've had some miserable losses a lot this season. But it was a close ball game, and as Dave alluded to just a few minutes ago, Lisa, that kind of changed everything. It sucked everything out of the building on 3rd and 33. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the defense thought
we were in the game at that point. It was 10-7.
Yeah, what we're saying. It was a close game at that point, and that just completely took the wind and the air out of everything. And everybody who was there on Sunday felt it immediately.
Through the press box, the stands, everybody was kind of, no, this has not happened. I was sitting with Paul Dottino, and we were just left, Lisa, shaking our heads. But it is – I don't know. I don't know if the defense thought – you know, sometimes you say to yourself, And this is in all sports. When you're on a bad streak, well, we're going to get out of this because we're too good to be this bad. But, you know, saying you're going to get out of it, as you say, talk is cheap.
Talk is cheap.
Go
it's
do
all
it.
About effort. Go do it.
Go do it.
Hey,
I mean,
Lisa.
Even my Eli looked like something happened to him, too. They just didn't look right.
No.
Nobody looked. I'm going to say something, though, Lisa, you know, about Eli, since you brought it up. And it really, really bothered me. Folks, Dave, you are entitled to boo if you want to boo, okay? That's your right. But I got to tell you something. I went down with a couple of minutes left in the game, waiting in the tunnel where we wait for the players to come off and they go in and you go in for, the coach's press conference. Eli was coming off. And you to boo and heckle Eli Manning, to me, I'll say it right now. I thought it was disgraceful and unforgivable. I mean, you want to criticize a guy's performance? Eli will be the first one to tell you. I had some turnovers.
He will always take accountability for himself.
Always mans up. But if, as a Giants fan, for what that guy has done for this organization, believe me, he can take the heat.
Yeah.
But if you want to boo and heckle Eli Manning, as far as I'm concerned, I thought that was disgraceful. I would say it to anybody. Absolutely disgraceful. Don't tell me you're a good fan and you're going to boo and heckle Eli Manning. Just don't think it's right.
They're lucky I wasn't there.
Lisa would have stomped him out.
Yeah, Lisa would have stomped him out.
Oh, the kids, I'm sorry you did the stomp, but it worked the opposite way.
Well, yeah. Okay, you better put on some new dancing shoes then, Lisa.
Lisa, you have to, next week when you call or the next time that you get through, you have to have your kids on the phone with you.
All right?
And it's my birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday, Lisa. You take
it. No, the Giants are going to win for me. I know they're playing San Francisco, but, hey, we're the one-point underdogs.
Hey, you want to know what? Listen, we've been saying it all season long. I'll say it again. And thanks always for your call, Lisa. They just need a win by any means necessary.
Vitamin W cures all, and I think we all need a taste of it.
Everybody does.
Yep.
A real good taste of it. Let's go down to Virginia and speak with James. James, how you doing today?
Oh, good, sir. This is Sergeant Kennedy. How you doing?
Good,
doing
Sarge.
Great.
How
Thank you
buddy?
Very much for your service.
I appreciate y'all, and you too, Mr. Deal. It's funny. I just bought some New York Giants plates. My daughter got me for my birthday in October, so I'm so happy. No matter what the record is, I'm still a big fan out here, and then I've been getting pounced on by some Philly fans, and I told them they might be looking at the record, but look at how many bowls we got, Super Bowls.
That's right. So. Until this season's over and after that Super Bowl,
hold it up.
Then we'll continue to talk about if the Eagles can fly.
Yeah, they didn't say nothing then, but as I said, I am a big fan, and I know they're going through some stuff, but yeah, like the last caller just said with the booing and everything, we just got to come together and do what we got to do. We got injuries, but I'm not going to say that's no excuse. You do what you have to do, next man up. But I tell you, just hang in there and do what we have to do. And no matter what, I am a big fan, and it'll come together, you know. And we just got to find a way and do what we got to do. We ain't got to sit down nobody. We don't have to tell the coach to go or whatever. Just play Giants football all the way.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, Sergeant Kennedy. But you know what? It needs to happen right away.
Absolutely.
All right, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, I appreciate what y'all are doing, and thank y'all. And take care of yourself, and thank you for all you did, Mr. Deal. We need five of you on the line right now.
I appreciate that, but like I said, thank you very much for your service, and thank you very much for everything you've done for our freedom and our safety here.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate
God
it.
God bless.
So thank you. All right. Again, 201-939-4513 is the number. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Columbia, Maryland now and speak with our friend Len. Len, how are you today, my friend?
Well, I'm doing pretty good as a Giant fan, doing the best I can. Hey, a quick word to David, Russ. David, I heard your pregame show, actually it was early morning show, I guess, on the Fan, the 9 o'clock show.
Yeah.
On my way to the game. Good job.
Thank you.
That's a.
You
a
said
nice
it
show.
As a surprise.
Yeah, so I can't pull back the name of the co-host, but he did a nice job.
Yeah,
also.
Myself and Mark Melusis do it.
There you go. But it was a good show. And
Len, don't sound so.
Hopefully the timing gets right and I can hear it again. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, don't sound so surprised. This is the illustrious David Deal, the former.
Oh, I know. David knows I was a big fan of his. You know,
was.
Was
what's all these?
These
was.
And,
Len,
I heard him once or twice. But, you know, being down here and outside the New York market, sometimes I used to get those games that David was doing, and he was good. Yeah, he did a good job.
How can we help
good luck,
you,
David? I hope things work out for you. Good job.
All right, so what do you got for us today, Len?
All right, here's the ultimate indignity on Sunday. You know, it's raining. You leave. You're coming down the escalator. People are moaning. You're soaking wet. I get to my car, and the battery's dead.
Oh, my goodness. That is – I don't mean to be laughing. Geez. Yeah, that is the ultimate.
Parking lot of MetLife Stadium. My fault, but it was dead. But, hey, to the folks at over there at the stadium, they did a nice job. Within 10 minutes, there was somebody charging me up in front of my car, and I was able to get out of there in a timely manner. But that was it. I just looked at my wife. She looked at me like, what the hell else can go wrong today? I mean, that was too much. Listen, I'm not going to use the Q word. I like Lisa's word a little better, effort. Right. I got a new one to throw into the mix. I just don't sense the commitment. And Russ, what bothers me is, you know, you mentioned just a minute ago about turning it around quickly. I don't know. I just question. They don't seem committed to the plan. They don't seem committed to each other. They don't seem committed to the play. I mean, that 33-yarder. Everybody's talking about it, but I mean, it just doesn't seem there's a commitment there to make the play. What do you think?
Well, listen, it's commitment is a good word, Len. I have to agree with you on that. But I think commitment goes into the same thing that David here was talking about, commitment, effort. Whatever it is, it's not working, okay?
No, I know.
We can split hairs on the vocabulary, the terminology. But listen, for 8 weeks – listen, they're 1-7, Quite frankly, in a lot of those, just about all of those losses, call it commitment on big plays, call it effort, whatever. It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue. When you're 1-7, something's lacking, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no disputing
listen, here's
that.
The good news on 1-7. 1980, Russ, you remember that team. It was a terrible football team. Ray Perkins' second year. But the next year, we made the playoffs in '81.
Right.
You know, we came back. We won some games in the second half of the season. You know, I hope we can turn it around a little bit and win some games here. I mean, we just got to build. I tell you, you know, I looked at. I'm running on the road on the ride home on Sunday. I'm thinking about, you know, who are the guys that are going to carry us forward? Who are the core players, David? Who are the core 10 guys, 12 guys? You know what? I couldn't get to 10. I mean, the guys who we can really count on to get us, you know, going into next year, these are the guys who are going to carry us forward. I didn't even use all my fingers.
You know what, Len?
If you want to count the first two picks this coming year, you can get over 10. You can get to 11, but... Jeez, I don't know. Now, maybe they're going to change my mind in the second half of the season. But.
Well, yeah, but you know what, Len? David brought up something earlier. I don't know if you were listening, Dave, when you brought up the fact. And I'm not making excuses for the loss.
But
when you're talking about give me 10, you were talking about all the injuries.
Yeah. I mean, Graham, it was like we said, it was an uphill battle
And I'm counting. As soon as I got home, I looked at IR. I looked at practice squad. And, you know, obviously Beckham's on the list. I mean, he's one of those guys. But, I mean, I don't know who the other guys are. I mean, some guys are going to have to change my mind.
Well, Len, a lot of guys need to be changing a lot of minds.
No question.
You got that right.
Listen, thanks for the call as always,
friend. All right, man. Let's go, Giants.
Okay, thank you. I mean, that was an interesting word, though, commitment.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's what we're going to see, which players are committed to turning this thing around and proving and themselves as a player, but making sure they represent this organization the right way. And, you know, sitting there, we were talking about it earlier, you know, one of the fans wrote, Eli Manning missed three passes on Sunday and is taking the full brunt of the blame, not to mention nobody's not really mentioning it in that regard how there was a 3rd and 33 converted. And then who is this? Vic Fontana. This is the most disappointing tweet I think I could get from you. It's time to at least admit that Eli has been the problem for over 6 years and he can't be absolved. If they would have won the game, I think people would have been celebrating that he just threw for over 50,000 yards in his career, Vic. So if you want to go to a different organization, you could join the Browns problem at the quarterback position. We can join a lot of other teams that have quarterback problems. We saw one last night with the drop of Aaron Rodgers. We see that Huntley isn't ready to play, and if they were really that confident in Huntley, then what would they do if they were confident in Huntley?
My goodness. I mean, what would he say he's the biggest problem for 6 years?
Yeah, at least he's been a problem for the last 6 years. And if we want to talk about a confidence in a quarterback, a coaching staff saying, oh, we got confidence in Huntley, then why were you in trying to get into the Brian Hoyer acquisition in Green Bay? If there wasn't an issue in Cleveland with, oh, our quarterbacks are fine, we're fine with Kaiser, then why were you trading a second and a third rounder for A.J. McCarron? So this is, I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, but like I said earlier, listen, you want to criticize, you want to say, well, Eli overthrew guys and the turnovers and the fumble, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. No, listen, nobody gets absolved when your record is 1-7. But I'm telling you, I stood there. And I'm hearing heckling and booing of Eli Manning. I mean, this guy has given absolutely everything to this organization, heart and soul. As David, who's a former teammate, said, never ever once made an excuse, always stands up, always is a man up about it. He's the definition you say man up.
No kidding. Have you ever heard him complain about getting hit and taking the hits that he's taken this season? Or the lack of blitz pickup, or receiver running the wrong route, and him throwing an interception. I think Reuben Randall, just at home right now, ran the wrong route, and Eli just threw an interception. But you never heard him complain once about that throughout the entire time.
Never. And again, like I say this to anybody, if you were one of the people booing or heckling Eli Manning, shame on you, because that is disgraceful. Ken in New Jersey. Ken, how you doing?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
What's going on, Kenny?
Not much. David, always a pleasure to talk to you, brother. You too, Russ.
Okay,
awesome
pal.
Guy. You guys have great jobs. I wish I had them. First and foremost, we've had stability at the quarterback position for 14 straight years. Anybody who's billing and heckling Eli Manning is going to be really upset when we don't have Eli Manning under center. But other than that, have you guys ever seen the Mighty Ducks movies?
Come on. Of course I have.
Okay, right? So, in the first Mighty Ducks movie, the coach, Emilio Estevez, is all, you know, laid back. Everything's fine. They're doing everything right. They get the V going. They win a championship. And the second Mighty Ducks movie, coach comes in. He's a little bit full of himself. He's got the slick back hair. And he's you know, playing to the media, which McAdoo doesn't do. But there was a lot of resemblance in 1 and 2 of the Mighty Ducks and 1 and 2 of Ben McAdoo. And I thought it was a little bit funny.
There's one, but, Kenny. There's one difference though. Mighty Ducks are a movie.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, it's a movie.
Yeah, I'm not calling for anybody's job this week. I think, you know, God bless Coach Coughlin. I wish he was still here. I think they forced him out and used him as an scapegoat. But I'm not calling for anybody's job this week. But if we lose to the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, I want heads to roll. I mean, there is no excuse. And I know people don't want to say that this team gave up. Eli Apple escorted that guy into the end zone on that 3rd and 33. And that's the last play I seen in this game because I was so disgusted I turned it off.
Right.
But, you know, that hasn't happened since 1989. And not only that, did they give up the 33, they gave up 50-something yards so they can escort him into the end zone. Eli Apple, this is your second year, bud. You're still not proven. I need you diving at his ankles. I need you doing everything you can to get him on the ground. Who do you think you are? I mean, really. I think it might have been a backhanded message to the coach. You want to suspend our best, this is what you get. And
That I'll disagree with.
You know,
Kenny, some of the points you're making are good points. I'm not going to dispute that, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Except for the last one.
Yeah,
that's the only one I disagree with.
Except for the last one. I mean, Eli Apple did not dive at the guy to send a message to somebody else. Whoop, I guess did we lose Ken? I guess we did. Ken, if you want, didn't mean to cut you off. In fact, if you want,
he didn't dive at the guy because he quit on the play.
Yeah. That, you know,
plain and simple.
But he wasn't sending a message to the coach.
No.
Listen, because you suspended DRC at one point and Janoris Jenkins, well, we're going to teach you a lesson. I mean, that's – now we're getting into Alice in Wonderland business. Let's go down to Delaware again. 201-939-4513 is the number. Marvin, how are you, buddy?
How you guys doing?
What's up, Marv?
I called about a week ago. I don't know if you remember me. I was the one that coached out in Massachusetts.
Yes.
And one of my kids played with Victor Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm calling back again today. And, I hear everybody what they're saying. And this is not – I mean, the team is going through some adversity right now. I think it's a team that probably can't be torn apart. People want it torn apart. Eli still has 3-4 years, I think, in him. If you can get the right team around him and protect him, he's a play-action pass quarterback. So he's not like these other guys everybody thinks he's like. But the reason I think they have issues is I think their spirit is broken. I don't know if it's the effort. I think it's their spirit. They're not having fun at what they're doing, and they're probably doing the same thing in practice.
Well, Marvel, let me ask you a question. I mean, because you have a football background, you coach, correct? Or did coach? Okay, so let me ask you this. I don't know how many losing teams you've had or losing streaks. When you're 1-7, or when you're losing, when is it ever fun?
It's never fun, and that's what I tell my kids. Think of the times you're winning. Majority of the time you're winning, you are having fun. Losing is not fun. It's part of growing and learning, but it's never fun. And I've had 7 championships, but I had some losing seasons in the years I had. And only thing I could do is try to put them in position to be successful. And I just tell them that, you know what, it's not about winning and losing right now. It's about having pride and go out here and have some fun and take care of each other on the field. And just don't worry about the score right now because, I mean, it is what it is. We're not one of the top teams. We know we're not one of the top teams. We're not fooling anybody. And just go play, have fun playing, stay healthy, and then they're going to have to rebuild next year. And that's just the way it is.
Well,
and that's the way
David alluded to it earlier.
Two things that we need, effort and execution.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, granted, we know that the playoffs are not here or no longer present with that opportunity. We get it. But with 8 games left, you need to represent this organization and yourself the way that you should be as a professional, knowing that it is a privilege, not a right, to be an NFL player. And if you're not going to do it, if you're not going to sell out, if you're not going to play the way that you should play as a New York Giant, you're part of the problem. And I guarantee you'll be seeing yourself out of the door at the end of the season.
You know, Marv, all last week we were talking about going into the game. When the team was 1-6, we were talking about this season from here on in was going to be a test of character for all parties concerned. And I'm talking about, Dave, throughout the entire building.
It's about heart and guts.
And now, believe me, now, Marv, we've taken it, and thank you, buddy, as always, for the call, but we've taken it one step further because now it's 1-7. Yeah, your character is really going to get tested, both as a football player, as a man, as a teammate, who you are.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like when we always talk about when you win and when you're winning, those insufficiencies sometimes get wiped under the carpet because you're winning football games. When you lose and you're sitting at 1-7, you better realize that you're all under a microscope right now.
You know, I've said this several times this season. I've gone back to something Parcells. Parcells was great with his certain Parcells.
Oh, yeah, they're great stuff.
And Parcells, like he always used to say, or a young guy coming up. Let's be careful before we put him in Canton just yet.
Yep.
Or when you're coming into the league, well, you know what? You got to have a few pelts up on the wall, you know, before. Well, he also would always say, let me reverse it right now. 7-1 is great. It when you're winning 51-34 or 51-17,
yep,
that's also great. But if you're 1-7 and you're on the short end of that score, now you're going to see what you're made of. Now you're going to see, yep, what kind of character you have. And listen, they're going to be tested. From this moment on for the rest of the season, starting right this very minute as we speak, they will be tested. Get a load of this, Dave. We're going out to Israel now, traveling to Israel, and speak with Natty. Natty, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Okay, guys. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Far, far away, but believe me, we got a ton of Giants fans over here. I would like to say, David, big fan.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
I would like to speak about my feelings towards what's happening in the Giants, specifically Eli Manning and Ben McAdoo. Watching the press conference post-game, I felt like Ben threw Eli under the bus. And that really, really, I'd say, aggravated me because, listen, Eli is not the perfect. He's not the best. He's an elite quarterback, but I wouldn't say he is. He's Tom Brady quarterback style. But it doesn't matter even if you're Tom Brady. Behind this kind of offensive line, you can't get it going because you're constantly afraid of being hit. And I can't understand how you can concentrate and maximize your play style when you're afraid of being hit.
Well,
play in and play out.
Natty, let me ask you this because I didn't see it that way. I mean, why do you say he threw Eli under the bus?
Because I felt when he spoke about the quarterback position, he mentioned all options are on the table, meaning – let's try other guys.
Well, no, hold on, Natty. No, see, that's where you're listening to the New York media and,
yes,
how they spin it.
Yes.
Because that was not the question. He said that everybody, that they were going to go back and they need to address things, figure out how to put people in positions to make plays, and if there were needed to be changes to be made at positions, they would make them. And he goes, and somebody in the crowd goes, is that including the quarterbacks? And he said everybody.
That was it.
So then that spread to Eli Manning might not play this game.
That's like, Natty, when somebody says, is anybody untouchable? Not on the Giants. I'm talking about in any sport. Or would you think about trading this person, that person? And when a coach says or a manager says or a GM says – nobody's untouchable. That does not mean,
yes,
he's killing this one.
Yeah.
It's just, it's an expression.
I understand. Yeah, like you read the tweet before from how you said that Eli Manning has been the problem for 6 years. I couldn't disagree more. Said.
We all concur.
Give him some time, give him a running game, and he'll pick up every team.
Yeah, but listen, Natty, we concur on that. So anything else since you're calling from Israel?
Well, that's it. Wanted to express my love and hope the Giants do better.
All right, Natty, thank you, and thanks for the call.
Take care, guys.
Boy,
thank you.
World has certainly changed.
I know, no kidding.
Israel. Oh, boy. All right, let's go to Rochester and speak with Andre. Andre, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, Andre?
I'm just calling you to defend Eli and McAdoo. Well, let's go with the analogy that football is like chess. All right, so the players are the pawns and the queens and things. The coach is the guy that's moving the pieces. And Jerry Reese is the person who provides those pieces. So if we lose our queen, which is Odell Beckham, it's up to Jerry Reese to replace it.
Well,
don't you think?
Well, I understand where you're going on this, Andre. And I'll defer to David here, but first of all, I don't think Odell would appreciate being referred to as the queen. Just a little side note there. But think about it, Andre. When you say it's up to the GM to replace, it's very, very hard to replace somebody of the talent of Odell Beckham Jr.
And you know what? And that's, once again,
not necessarily you saying replacing it, but he's the person responsible of providing those pieces to the team.
No, and what I would I'm saying here moving forward is obviously there's going to be questions when you're 1-7 about the long-term future. How are they going to be able to rebuild the future of it? What are they going to need in specific positions in order to get back to the championship culture and the championship ways? So when it comes to that, Odell's a franchise-changing player. He's a generational player that anybody offensive coordinator-wise, coaching-wise, that would dream to have that type of elite receiver in their offense. But at some point when it comes to it, I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I'm saying this is a hypothetical because this is things that people are asking about the possibility of trading him. I don't think it would happen. But at the end of the day, any GM, you have to think with your brain and not your heart. And you have to think about what the long-term return on investment would be if you could trade a player like that or not. Once again, these are things long down the road that we'll see if anything ever makes up for this stuff. But in regards to what you said, at any price, at a certain price, sometimes you may think if it would help the future of an organization of a team, if you could get 3 or 4 for one, that possibly you would do it. That's all I'm saying. Once again, I'm not saying that it's going to get done. I'm not saying, but when it comes to that, and if you can get a certain amount of draft picks, if you can get compensation, those are things that draw to your mind.
Well, listen, that's the business of – that's the hard part for a GM or any executive of any team. You have to, Andre, you have to have the stones, if you will, the intestinal fortitude to be able – to make that decision. But, and thank you for the call, Andre, but to make that decision, if you ever were going to do anything of that magnitude, boy, it better had better be the right decision.
And it better pan out, because if it doesn't.
Listen, I'll give you an example. Phil Sims is a friend of mine, you know, might be my favorite Giant of all time that I've dealt with. And listen, I love – there's a lot of guys, and I certainly have – you know how I feel about Eli. But I remember when George Young made the decision, you know, financial, this and that, they were going to let him go. They were going to let Phil Sims go. And it subsequently – was the wrong decision because Dave Brown and Kent Graham were not the answers. Having said that, George Young made that decision, and you can be the biggest George Young critic, but I will tell you this. George Young, let him rest in peace, never, ever made a decision that in his heart he did not think was in the best interest of the Giants. And you know what? Wellington Mara would if he was here today, the patriarch of this organization would say the same thing, and it killed Wellington Mara on that day when Phil Sims was let go. But those are the tough decisions that people make. But if you're going to make something of that magnitude on any team, you had better be the one that makes the right decision.
You better be right.
Otherwise, you are going to get bullets and slings and arrows like nobody ever received. Let's go out to California and speak with Don. Don, how you doing today, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, Dave and Russ? How are you guys doing today?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Big-time Giant fan way back. You know what? I'm not going to dwell on anything negative here. I'm just going to talk about I'm not sure who gets fired, who needs to get fired. But what we don't need is another 50. That game was horrible.
Yep.
I watched it, and I'm like, it seems like everybody gave up. Offense, defense, special teams again. And I don't know what the Giants need to do, but show a little pride. I mean, we just need to show some pride. This is a great organization, and we just need to show some pride. That's We got better players than this. I know it. You guys know it.
Well, you know what, Don? You make a very good point. I'll tell you something. One of the guys who impressed me in the locker room after for the post game was DRC. You know, DRC stood at his locker. Now, here's a guy. He was one of the guys who had been suspended, Don, and DRC was asking, and he wasn't making any excuses. He says, "No. This is not this is on a player's. I mean, I've been in this league a long time. I never had 51 put up on me." And they said, he was asked what he got to play for from this point on, and Don, believe me, he said, "What I got to play for? I got 8 games left. We got a lot to play for." And that's coming from a guy like you say who had a problem. Was subsequently suspended, came back and played. He wasn't making any excuses.
No, but he's a veteran guy who has been through this and sees what it's like to have up and down years and what it takes to fight through them.
That's pretty much all I got. thanks for hearing me out, guys. Thank you,
Donnie. Thank you. That's
all I got.
Well, that's all I got. What else do you want me to say? You know, I'm banging my head against the wall since Sunday, and what else can I do? Let's go to Columbus, Ohio, and speak with Adam. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Russ. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I call occasionally. I think this is the first time I've got the two of you, so let me say I really enjoy your analysis, Russ, and Dave as well, and thank you for all you've done for the organization. Particularly those two Super Bowl runs.
Thanks, Adam.
It was a pleasure to watch. So obviously I'm in Columbus, Ohio, so I'll start by saying that I'm surrounded by Browns fans. So, we're 1-7. It's a tough pill to swallow, but I'm as excited and eager for this team and proud to support them in this year as I am when we win the Super Bowls because, winning wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for losing. It sucks to lose, but, man, my friends all roll their eyes at me when I complain about this season because they say, at least you have hope. And I say, you're right. So,
great point, Adam.
I think we talked a little about Eli Manning earlier, and I wanted to expound on that and get your opinion. I'm grateful to have Eli Manning. I think Giants fans get a little spoiled when he kind of has a downstretch. It does hurt the team, but – given all he's done and the pedigree and the character of the guy, I wouldn't want anyone else. But that being said, just for analysis' sake, do you think it's fair to maybe look to him to be the guy that elevates his play to mask deficiencies? And I guess what I mean by that, and I touched on this a little yesterday, is, boy, I tell you, some of the throws that it seems like he's missed even when the protection was there. Odell against Philadelphia, he's on a linebacker, he overthrows him, he misses King a couple times, Do you think that maybe if those are the throws that are made, it kind of plugs the weak, so to speak, and disguises where we're really struggling in other areas? And maybe keeps a little morale higher.
Well,
I just like your opinion on that.
Well, I mean, obviously when you're sitting 1-7, you can go back and you can look at offensively, defensively, or punts even, special teams-wise, that could have completely changed the outcome of where this Giants team is currently at 1-7. You go back and watch some of those fourth quarter games, the ones that where the Giants fought back, had leads, whether it's Tampa, whether it's Philly, and look at the lack of ability to find a way to close those games. So in regards to a certain play here, a certain play here, whether it was Eli, whether it was another player defensively, whether it was an offensive lineman, you could sit here and try to point the blame at anything that you want to, but when you're sitting at 1-7, everybody has their fingerprint on it. Everybody has an involvement in it. And granted, has Eli had games where he could have played better than he has? Absolutely. But look at the way that he's been hit. Look at the people that have been in his face. Look at the way he's been able to convert in games on third down, like the one pass that we were talking about, the one throw he made on third against Seattle. Like, he was falling backwards. He had two people at his legs and still put the ball in the same exact spot where it needed to be on the sideline to convert. So, like I said, when you're in tough spots and you're 1-7, obviously you look back at certain plays and games and the magnitude of what they have. But at the same time, you have to look at all three phases of the team.
Adam, listen, when you're 1-7, everybody is held accountable. Everybody is culpable. As McAdoo had said several times, you know, you can criticize Ben all you want, but the one thing he's hit the nail on the head is the fact that, hey, there's plenty of blame to go around. Yeah, you can look back at if Eli would have made this pass in a Philadelphia game or in this other game, but at the same point, and if Brad Wing didn't kick a 15-yard punt or a 28-yard punt.
Or how about the drops that the receivers have had this season?
Yeah, I mean,
it can go. I mean, you can, like I said, it can go either way, Adam.
Let me ask you this, and I agree with you. My purpose is not to
– No. We get what you're – absolutely. You got a great call here, Adam. No worries.
Who do you look to maybe moving forward then to be that guy who steps up and says, look, you got to set the tone? Somebody – if there's – you know, obviously it's all three phases, but if there's any one person you need to single out now to say, hey, let's salvage this. Let's go out there. Let's play for some respect. Let's go punch somebody in the mouth.
Well, okay, I'm gonna stop you right there for a second. I am not – here's what I'm going to say on that. I'm not absolving the offense at all, okay? But having said that, I think it's incumbent upon the defense to go punch somebody in the mouth. The defense was rock solid last year, and it's like some Swiss cheese this year. You know, things are happening which nobody can understand. And I think it's incumbent upon them to go and, you know, cliche all you want it, take no prisoners, backs up against the wall, circle leg, and sucker punch somebody. And I mean, just go out.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Just do it.
And it's funny that you said that because I was going to say either JPP or Landon Collins.
I'm saying the entire unit.
But if you were to pick, those are the two players that you need to step up to make an impact play to start this game going up against the San Francisco 49ers to bring life and energy to both sides of the ball. I concur with that.
You know, listen, the Giants have certainly missed Olivier Vernon for not being in. And I guess, you know, they haven't exactly said what it is, but, Dave, you would know this better than me. You know, they haven't officially said it's a high ankle sprain, but when they are high ankle sprains, it's usually 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's so weird about high ankle sprains is because it doesn't swell, it doesn't bruise. It's not like that. It's just because of the area. It takes so much longer to heal up. And like I said, I don't know if it's a high ankle sprain exactly what it is, but you knew that he tried pushing through it in Tampa and it went worse. So that's exactly where – but once again, it's a credit to the player. He was trying to play.
Listen, you're talking about a guy
– played with a broken hand, basically.
A broken hand all of last year. He's never missed a game until
something,
this year.
Something I know a lot about here.
No, but
– yeah.
That's
you play hurt. You have to.
You play hurt. You go ahead. You give it your all, but – that is a problem, but I would agree with you. I would think JPP and Landon Collins, but just as a unit, I think the defense needs to be the defense that everybody expected.
That's the strength of this team, and there's nothing wrong with saying that this team this season needed to go in and build off of the way that their defense played, and that was. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that whatsoever because that's the truth.
I'll tell you another guy who's playing his keister off. Big guy Snacks.
Yeah.
Smacks doesn't take a playoff.
No.
Unless he comes off the field, he's not taking a playoff.
No. And that's where, once again, having OV in that lineup helps a lot to take some of those double teams off of Snacks Harrison. And then the other one who you see continuing to play better is Delvin Tomlinson. You see him now starting to not only stack, but starting to shed, starting to react more, play more confident because of the amount of reps and experience that he's getting.
We've seen a little something from Avery Moss.
Avery Moss, yeah. We knew that he was a athlete, a former basketball player, a player who can bend around the edge. Now, you know, for young players, it's always there. You can't be a one-trick pony at the defensive end position. That's what we always say. Guy comes up with one move, you stop that move, and the guy's done. What it is the experience of being able to have counter moves. The offensive tackle punches you, stops this one. You have something to revert back to still work and kind of get pressure on the quarterback. So those are the things that you really see young players having to learn as at the defensive end are setting up those plays, setting up the sacks with your technique.
The thing that was so frustrating last week. You know, they started out okay.
There's only one thing?
No, but they started out okay. I mean, they're running the ball. Darkwell looked terrific.
Well, offensively, having a sack force fumble on an opening drive is not starting
then
off well.
They
were still able to bounce back from that one and keep it somewhat close until the third and 33.
Third and 33, and as they say, that was all she wrote. Game over, game, set, match. It was done. But having said that, that's it for right now over here. For David Deal, I'm Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. As always, the number for you to call is 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. But not right now. For now, we'll say goodbye, and we'll see you again tomorrow.